Abigail seemed genuinely intrigued by the whole experience of rabbinical training, and James was grateful for her curiosity. More to the point, he was grateful for her ability to keep him talking in spite of his fear that he might collapse into a quivering heap any moment. At one point, a serving girl approached and stood by, waiting quietly so as not to interrupt. At a break in their conversation, she asked if the mistress and the master might desire anything to eat or drink. James accepted a cup of wine diluted with fruit juice. Abigail declined, with an expression of thanks to the girl that struck James as especially gracious. He had always felt that kindness to those in positions of service was a sign of a charitable heart. After the servant departed, James felt awkward again, not being sure how to pick up the conversation, but Abigail came to his rescue once more. "It must be wonderful to study with such a teacher," she said, "in so elevated a way. My reading is very limited." "Do you read?" he asked. The question was entirely innocent, since James was well acquainted with the studious nature of his father's wife, Mary. But Abigail reacted in a way that took him by surprise. She was embarrassed to have let slip an admission of this talent. "Well, I read the Psalms," she said hesitantly. "We have a scroll of the Psalms in our house at Rabba." Her eyes shifted quickly, peering about the colonnade almost guiltily. "I learned to read by following the words as my father would recite the Psalms when I was a child. He would read to me often." She looked at James imploringly. "Please, don't let anyone know I told you. My mother says it is not becoming for a girl to read." The poignancy of her confession, with its sudden childlike loss of confidence, gripped James' heart. At that moment, he was able to see beyond the physical beauty. He felt a powerful surge of empathy for this young woman who was ashamed of possessing a skill which he considered one of the greatest blessings in life. "Oh, no," he said, "do not think that. Reading is the most wonderful thing. It is a gift from the King of the Universe. You should read all of the holy books." "Well," she said, "if I were a man, I would read more. If I were a man, I would love to study in the way you do." She was merely trying to reestablish a facade of womanly deference appropriate in speaking to a man outside her family. But common as such a remark might have been for a girl to make, it took James aback. He gave a quick shake of the head. Then he said in a breathless, whispery voice, almost dreamily, as if to himself, but loud enough for her to hear, "I cannot begin to imagine you as a man." Abigail's eyes came up, and her glance locked on James for the briefest instant. Then they both quickly looked away. Blessedly, the serving girl returned. "Sir, Master Zacharias will speak with you now." James excused himself, shaken. He rose from his seat and hurried into the house. Abigail remained sitting on the bench, the beautiful face now blank as she pondered a new emotion she'd experienced in the presence of this warm and open-hearted young man.